Hey guys, welcome to the Indie Game Development Podcast. Here we tackle the challenges of indie game development head on, from the technical to the emotional stuff. And we talk about the secrets to conquering self-doubt on your journey to crafting games that people will love. Subscribe so you never miss another episode. And if you haven't already given us a rating and review, please do that now so that this podcast gets shared with more people. We'd really, really appreciate it. Ready? Let's go. So I have been helping people get into game development for almost 2 years now on my YouTube channel mostly. So if you are thinking of starting your game dev journey, then you've very much come to the right place, because I know how completely overwhelming it can be just to get started. Maybe you're someone who has been watching other developers on YouTube, whether it's been devlogs or whether it's been tutorials or whatever it is, and you're wondering how the heck you can get into it and how the heck can you start making video games yourself as well. And I know, because I was there. I watched people beforehand and I was like, I don't know how to do this. This is insane. So I get it. With that in mind, this episode is going to be hopefully a complete roadmap for starting your game dev journey, okay, from like day zero. And we want to do it in an order that makes the most sense and skip any possible time wasters. Because I know something about time wasters, because I've made a lot of mistakes along the way. So where do we begin? That's the most important thing. So there are a lot of opinions on this matter, okay, in terms of where to start. Now, everybody learns differently. There is no one-size-fits-all solution, blah, blah, blah. You already know this, right? But literally, it's true. Everyone has a different learning style. Everyone learns differently. But if you are a hands-on learner, I really suggest you just plunge right in and start learning your engine. Going through textbooks and, you know, trying to read up on code before you jump into a game engine, it's going to be harder than trying to learn a new language, you know, from reading a book or something like that. It's just going to be complete nonsense. Getting in and plunging into a game engine is going to put a lot of context behind all of the code and all of the things that you're going to need to learn, okay? You need the context in order for the understanding to actually solidify for you, at least in my opinion. So naturally then, if we follow that chain of logic, where we want to start, the very first thing we want to do is to pick a game engine, okay? And for a lot of people, there's already this like choice paralysis when you get to this point. If you Google a list of good game engines, you know, you can literally, there's dozens of them. There are dozens, okay? Now, it's already March in 2024, and the landscape around the topic of which engine people should use, the landscape around this whole topic, it changed a lot in 2023, okay, especially in the fall. So I want to give you accurate, up-to-date information so that you can make the best choice, because ideally, you don't want to be jumping around between a whole bunch of different engines when you're trying to learn. You want to pick one tool so that you can master it. And yes, all engines are very similar. If you understand how one engine works, you can probably go ahead and jump into another one without too much trouble. But there are reasons why you generally want to pick one and stick with it, and we will get there. To satisfy your curiosity a little bit though, a big part of it is which programming language are you going to use? You don't want to be hopping around between different languages, honestly. So like I said, there are dozens of engines out there, but there are really three, okay, that you should, if you are an indie developer, there are three that you should seriously be choosing between as of the time of this recording, okay? And it's the big three. They are Unity, Unreal, and Godot, all right? Spelled out, Godot looks like Godot, but it's pronounced Godot as far as I understand. So let's get the question of graphics answered right out of the gate, okay? Because this comes up all the time in terms of which engine has better graphics. Which one has better graphics? Okay, let's get that out of the way. If you are a small indie studio or a solo developer, you do not need to worry about graphical capabilities. You just don't. All three engines will suit your needs just fine. It is very likely you are not going to be pushing the graphic limits of any of these engines if you are working solo. It's just not worth worrying about, okay? But there are a few factors that you will want to consider. Normally, I would not talk about pricing when it comes to game engines, but it has been a hot topic since the fall of 2023 because of Unity's whole pricing scandal or whatever you want to call it. So let's deal with that real quick. And I'm going to start with the paid engines, which is Unity and Unreal. Neither of them cost any money until you were earning quite a lot of revenue from your game, okay? Up until that point, it is completely free. Most indie developers will have to pay very little, if anything, ever. And both Unity and Unreal, they are free to download. And, you know, there's no features that are locked behind a paywall. The whole 100% capability of the engines is there no matter which license you choose, okay? Or which pay plan you go on, whatever you want to call it. So again, Unity made all the headlines online and, you know, in September of 2023 when they announced changes to their pricing. And ever since that point, there's just been a lot of confusion and misinformation out there. And a big part of that is on Unity, honestly. Like they came out with a pricing change and then they quickly changed course. Okay. So there's just, you know, if you've got YouTube videos floating out there with thumbnails and blah, 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 there's a very good chance that a lot of it is not current. Okay. So I just want to make sure that you're getting the right information. So as of right now, at the time of recording, the next major Unity version will be Unity 6, which introduces the new pricing model. So here's how it's going to work. If you make more than $200,000 annually with your game, that's $200,000 annually with your game, you will need to upgrade to the Unity Pro license, which costs about $185 a month. At that point, you will also owe the lesser of 2.5% of gross revenue or a download fee per install, and all the headlines and everything we're talking about, the install fee, okay? But again, the important part here is it is the lesser of the two. It's either going to be, you know, so basically the most that you can possibly be paying is 2.5% of your game's revenue plus the monthly pro fee, okay? That is the very, very, very highest amount that you will ever possibly pay if you use Unity. That is the new pricing subject to Unity version 6, which is not out yet, okay? If you were on a version before Unity 6, then you were on their old pricing model. And you can stay on their old pricing model as long as you do not upgrade to Unity version 6, okay? So that is how that works. The current pricing, which is, you know, everything pre-Unity version 6, the current pricing, which, again, you can stick with if you want, if you don't upgrade, it is free up until $100,000 per year, at which point you need to upgrade to the Unity Pro license, okay? That's it. So the one that they're currently on is a lot more simple and a lot easier to understand, but the new one, while you might end up paying 2.5%, it also has a higher annual cap, which in my opinion, you know, it makes it, it seems to not really be targeted at indie developers. There are very few indie developers that make $200,000 annually with their games. They want to be targeting these free-to-play mobile companies that end up, you know, making millions and millions and millions of dollars annually, as well as AAA companies and all that stuff. That is who they want to be targeting with this. Just that is conjecture and that is my own opinion based on the numbers that I'm seeing here. That's just how I read it. Now, Unreal, on the other hand, it's a lot more talking on my part. They charge 5% flat, okay, to any amounts after a lifetime revenue of $1 million on your game, okay? So it's not annual, it's lifetime, but it's a million. Or apparently, if it is on the Oculus store, it is 5% as long as the lifetime revenue is $5 million. I found that in the fine print. So I guess you've got a higher cap if you're publishing to the Oculus store or its successor, which is interesting. Godot, on the other hand, it is open source and it is completely free. You will never owe anything, no matter how much your game makes. But I do feel like saying this, okay, don't mistake me. I'm not necessarily saying that makes it the best choice just because it's free. I'm not personally advocating for any of the engines. All three of them are fantastic, okay? All three of them are great. But going with Godot, just because it's free doesn't mean it's the best. I just want to be clear that that is the message that I'm putting out there. Going with Unreal or Unity has certain advantages. They have asset stores, although I have heard that Godot is working on implementing an asset store, so we'll see what happens with that. But as of right now, that is not a thing. Unity and Unreal has a lot more resources, a lot more stability, because it's not open source. It is made by a company that has a direction in mind, and it has baked in multiplayer services and features. They get the cutting edge new tech, whereas Godot will be a lot more behind on that. They are, in most cases, Unity and Unreal, they are more performant under the hood than Godot. And if you want a job in the industry, then they would just be the better engine to learn, okay? So those are the pros of Unity and Unreal. But Godot is free, no matter how much you end up making with your game. It is a very solid engine. It is improving at a dramatic rate. And unless you're really wanting to pursue super advanced 3D features and really high-end rendering, then Godot is a very solid and very popular choice. I personally use the Unity engine, and if my game makes over $200,000 in a year, then I will happily pay up to 2.5% revenue. That basically feels like nothing, considering Steam takes 30%. So, but that's just me, okay? So in terms of the engines, that's pricing. Normally, I wouldn't want to talk about that, but you guys need all the information. So the other things that you need to know about each engine is which programming options are available to you, because each one of those three engines has a different path that you're going to follow. So with Unreal, you are probably mostly going to be using Blueprints, which is a node-based visual scripting solution. You can write native C++ code, but most resources you're going to find online are centered around creating blueprints. So if you are new and you're going to be learning from online resources, you will likely be learning and using blueprints for your Unreal career. With Unity, you have the option of writing C# code, which in my opinion is a lot nicer to write than C++ code. But they also have what is now called Unity Visual Scripting, which is extremely similar to Unreal's Blueprint solution. However, in this case, it is completely flipped. Most resources that you're going to find online will focus on writing code. There is not a whole lot out there for visual scripting. So if you go with Unity, you will have the easiest time getting started, especially if you're self-taught like I am and you're just going online and using resources that way, if you choose to use regular C# scripting as opposed to the visual scripting solution. With Godot, they used to support visual scripting, but it looks like they no longer support that as of Godot 4, so that is no longer a thing. So you'll be writing with their own language called GDScript, which is what they recommend, although you can also use C#, and you can also use C++. But again, if you are looking at tutorials and you are self-taught or you're looking through their documentation, most of the resources you're going to find are going to be with GDScript. So if you are brand new, which if you're listening to this, then you might just be. So what I would recommend is that you literally, they're all free to download, right? Just spend a day or two, you know, take a couple of weekends, use an engine per weekend or whatever, right? Spend a day or two in each engine and just see which one you like best. You know, look up the most basics of the basics tutorial that you can get through in like 30 minutes or whatever, and just see which one you like better. They all have very different feels to them. And you might just find that one of them is kind of just intuitively makes a lot more sense to you than the others. And if that's the case, that is the one I would pick. So at that point, once you do that, you're here and you've picked your engine, okay? What is next after you pick an engine? You need assets to make games, okay? You need sprites if you're working on a 2D game, or you need models for 3D or models for 2.5D. For now, at the beginning stages, I recommend, for the learning stage, I recommend you use other people's art. Drawing and modeling are completely different skill sets that have nothing to do with your engine or with programming. So if you don't already know how to do those things, you can learn them in parallel with your engine and programming. But for the sake of getting up and running quickly to learn, you know, to learn how to program, to learn how to work in your game engine, to learn how all of the game logic flows together, just use art from online for now. Open Game Art is a great resource for that, and most of it is copyright free. Actually, I think all of it is copyright free. Don't quote me on that, but I'm quite certain it is. But some of it you do have to give credit for. So that is what is going to make learning just a lot quicker. Just like skip trying to learn how to do art at the same time as learning how to code, because that's crazy. But when you are ready for art, if you are doing 2D, Photoshop is obviously the top choice, okay? But if you are on a budget, Krita, which I really, really like and I have on my computer, it is open source and it is really great. But Nikki, my wife, she is the artist on our team and she's the one who has Photoshop on her computer. I just use Krita for like making simple little textures for particle systems and things like that. But yeah, if you're on a budget, use Krita. If you can afford it, then go with Photoshop because that's, you know, that's top tier stuff. And that is what most tutorials online are going to be showing when it comes to 2D art is Photoshop stuff. If you are working on a 3D game, then just use Blender. I'm not even going to talk about any other options. Blender is free and it is fantastic and it has come such a long way. I know that it used to have a very, very big reputation for being super hard to learn. I'm not saying it's easy to learn now, but I think that it has gotten a little bit better and more intuitive in recent years. And that was my only complaint ever when I first started. It was how difficult it was to learn, but it can do literally anything. It's insane. But again, for now, while you are learning your engine, after you've picked one and you're learning your engine, start with free assets online so that you can get up and running in your engine quickly and start learning how to make games. For learning your engine and the basics of programming, start with two or three really, really basic tutorials on YouTube, okay? Follow them to the letter just to get your feet wet and get comfortable in the engine. A lot of people will tell you don't follow tutorials. I don't agree with that at all. Following tutorials, it does make it harder for you to remember things, but you will get comfortable in your engine and you will be learning things even if it doesn't feel like it, okay? Once you've done that, two or three really basic tutorials, once you've done that, which is pretty boring, I want you to think of a really, 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 really simple game, okay? Like Flappy Bird or Pong or a super simplified Crossy Road, something like that. Like the basics of the basics and try to make it. Preferably, it's going to be something that exists already and you can find art online for it somewhere so that you know whether you're close or not. What the game is doesn't matter so much as how you're looking at it, okay? Because the idea here is to break down what you need to make into small, Googleable chunks. I don't know if that's a word, but I'm going to say it again, Googleable. You want to be able to break down the process of how to make a game into Googleable chunks. Some tiny little games like Flappy Bird can be broken down into just a whole bunch of micro steps, right? How do I get the bird on the screen? Just how do I get it to show up? How do I get the pipes spawning in? How do I make him fly when I click? How do I make gravity make the bird fall? Et cetera, et cetera. There's just these little tiny things that you add in one at a time. You can Google them if you don't already know how to do them. And you're going to learn so, so very quickly as you start going through that way. This also takes design out of the equation, which is really this. Nothing inherently good or bad about that, except it's going to speed this up for you a lot because it's a game that already exists. You don't have to sit there and think up the rules and probably make it more complicated than it should be. You literally just think of a game and copy it, which is going to make it really fast. You're going to want to do this several times. And if you want to push yourself even further and learn even faster, then just at the end of each game, once you've successfully copied it, add your own little twist into the game. This is going to build your skills and your confidence very quickly. It's going to help you avoid what is called tutorial hell, where you're stuck in the learning stage forever and you never, ever, ever, ever feel confident enough to stop watching tutorials and actually try making anything on your own. Where you want to eventually get to is you can get to a place where you're able to make some of the stuff on your own, and then when you get stuck, you should be able to go on Google or go on Reddit or go on YouTube and try to find how to do what it is you're trying to do and soak that up as fast as you possibly can. What is next after this point? Game jams, okay? And this is like a lifelong thing. Participate in them solo or with a team. It does not matter. They both have their pros and cons. You can Google how to join them, which ones there are. There's literally a billion of them going on all the time. One of the biggest and most popular is Ludum Dare. I think it runs 3, maybe 4 times a year. I actually can't remember. It's one of those two. This is going to force you to create something fast under a deadline. And most importantly, you're going to get feedback on a game that you made, right? You're not going to be copying other games for this. This is your own original idea and you're going to get feedback on it, which is huge. If you've done one of those quick ones, next I would recommend is making a game in 1 month. My very first game jam I ever did was actually a month-long game jam, and it was a very, very different experience than something like Ludum Dare, which is like 48 to 72 hours, because in a month, you actually have time to do things like make multiple levels and add polish and particles and even maybe dabble with shaders and things like that. Things that you probably won't have time for in a much shorter game jam, especially when you're a beginner and you have to Google every little thing that you run into, right? Things like particles, shaders, music, sound design, level design, animation, 3D modeling, these are not skills that you're going to start out trying to learn right away, okay? These are skills that you can learn later after you have gained some confidence in your engine and with your programming language. You can spawn in circles and squares and make a really fun game without any art, without any sound, without any music. And games without music and sound and all of those things feel a little bit dead, but you can make something that works without any of those things. All of those things are just icing on the cake, and they come later. You want to start with your engine and your programming language, okay? And one extra piece of advice that I would give you is when you play games for fun, okay, in your own time, start playing them with just a little bit more of a critical eye. This isn't homework. Don't think of it as work at all, but just watch them with a critical eye. You can still play and enjoy them, obviously, but, you know, pay attention to what they do well and why it worked well. You can learn a lot about good game design just by playing your favorite games. You can also learn a lot if you feel like something really didn't work too well in a game and what would you do differently, right? There's just all these little things that you're going to start picking up, and it's going to sink into the back of your brain. And that can just help with you developing your design skills right off the gate. Just playing really good games and paying attention to how they do what they do, how do they do it well, and what things could be improved. If you want to connect with some more awesome indie developers like yourself, you can check out our Discord server. We have an amazing community of indie developers. I will leave a link in the description. We're almost at like 1600 members at this point. It's absolutely nuts. There's a lot of great, really knowledgeable, really intelligent people there. That's all I got. If you love this episode and if you haven't already left a rating and review, please consider doing that now, because it really helps the podcast grow and reach more awesome people like yourself. And as an indie developer, I feel like it is my duty to direct you to our Steam page to wish list our game Samurado. I'm getting so very excited about the process of this game and what it is shaping out to be like. We just went through a really big graphical update, and it's become a very beautiful game to look at. I cannot wait for this game to come out, and you should go wishlist it right now. And if you want to check out the development process of this game, because it's been a really weird and really interesting journey of making this game, you can go to our YouTube channel, Sasquatch Beast Studios, and there are devlogs for Samurado. If you look through the playlists, you'll find devlogs in there. You can check that game out, and I will see you guys in the next one. Thank you so much.